Hawks, and tonight's game felt like we were back in the 90s, didn't it? All over again, Tennessee with a tremendous effort against the Kentucky Wildcats. And if you'd like to get on with us, that's called picking up the signal. Tonight, the Kentucky Wildcats picked up our signal. But the Volunteers, the bottom line is, when you shoot it like that in a game, and we said it earlier, Tennessee was going to have to shoot from the field tonight. They were going to have to go off. And they just couldn't do it. They couldn't hit a three. Could not hit a three. Could not hit a three. Could not buy a big shot tonight. Absolutely could not buy the shot when they needed it. Thompson Bowling Arena hasn't played like a home court all year for Tennessee, so why should it tonight? They were not able to hit a shot when it mattered. Tennessee really struggled tonight to shoot the basketball. And boy, did it ever cost them. They did so many things well. When you go back and you look at the numbers inside that game tonight, and you consider how hard the Vols played, and you really start just looking at just the way they had the tempo, where they wanted it. They had Townsend foul trouble early. He was out of the game. That entire Kentucky squad was completely discombobulated. They were out of their element. And they looked bored, quite frankly. Tennessee's effort was so great tonight. In the first half of that game, the entire time in that game, their effort was wonderful tonight. And I can't say enough about Tennessee's overall effort in the ball game, but they come up short. And if you look at some of the numbers, Tennessee in the first half had a 20-8 scoring edge in the paint. Tennessee was out rebounding Kentucky at the half 15-13. And then Kentucky just came out and they did what Kentucky does, which is to say they absolutely did what they do. They pounded Tennessee. It was a 4-point game at 56-52 with 11 to go. I mean, can you ask for any more than that? When you look at their lineup and you look at our lineup and you look at how hard our guys play and you look at Balkman's tip follow, how tremendous that was, and some of the things that we were treated to. But the numbers tonight don't lie. And the big number tonight for Tennessee, and I don't agree with much of what Dick Vitale says, but I do agree with this. Tennessee had to shoot it well tonight from three-point land to have a chance. And when you look up at the final numbers in that game, and you, in your own building, shoot 12% from three-point land, you couldn't beat Carnes High School doing that. Tennessee was 2-for-17 from three-point land. Did not make a three in the second half. And there was enough ugliness to go around. Punter 0-for-5. Richardson 1-for-3. Richardson only 4-for-14 from the field, but I don't fault him. You see, they're running guys at Richardson fresh all night long. Bigger guys the whole night. Well, not necessarily bigger. But they're running guys at Richardson all night. And I don't fault him one bit. Not one bit. Not one bit. In fact, I don't fault any of our kids, not one bit. There were a couple of sequences in the game where if they just make a play, you just hit a shot, you give yourself a chance, you give your crowd a chance. And as I was saying earlier, when you look at the numbers spell a game that should have been close. Tennessee, 35-35 in rebounding. Tennessee had a 35-31 rebounding advantage with 2.5 minutes left. Kentucky just pounded Tennessee's face in on the glass in the second half. Kentucky went 6 minutes without a field goal in the second half. And during that time, Tennessee could not do any real damage to the lead. Why? Because Kentucky rebounded the basketball. And we couldn't hit the big three. Coming out of the halftime break, we had three chances to take the lead. Bang, brick, 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 brick. I was going through it. Listen to this. Kevin Punter tonight, who had a nice night from the field, had a nice game, 7-12. He's 0-5 from three-point range. And truthfully, Tennessee's threes tonight, none of them were close. Now, that's a byproduct of having to do all that work on defense, surely. And I'll bet Donnie will talk about that. How about my man Willie C tonight? Willie C tonight had 4 points in the game, 2 of 2 from the field. Here's the most important thing. Willie Carmichael stayed and played on the floor till after the final TV timeout of the game. He was on the court the most he's been all year. He was actually a factor. He grew up tonight a little bit. And Owens tonight with 5 points in the game, 2 of 3 from the field. Owens, I loved, and I don't know why it happened, but I love him with the shaved head. That's a good look on Owens. Kentucky tonight, Booker's just too much. I mean, Booker's too much. Tip your cap to Kentucky. Cauley Stein tonight, an absolute man. Booker had 18 points, 5 of 16, 2 of 9 from 3-point range. But even his misses were pretty misses. Tennessee, in our building, gets the line 10 times. Kentucky gets the line 21 times. The Vols only 4 of 10 from the foul line on the night. So I was going through the 3-point shooting. Punter's 0 for 5. If he makes just one or two of them, it could have been a game late. Hubs 0 for 2. Moore 0 for 1. Mostella 0 for 4. And Balkman tonight 1 of 2 as he finished with 6 on the evening. Tennessee ends the game tied rebounding-wise with Kentucky. The Vols only foul one player out. Moore ends up with 4 fouls at the end. One of the Harrison twins had 4. Towns had 3. Towns never really got it on track tonight. Only finished with 3 points on the evening. Kentucky gets out of Knoxville with a rather quiet, workmanlike 66-48 victory. They're 26-0 on the year. Tennessee 14-11. And 6-7 now in the conference with a big road game coming up at Ole Miss on Saturday. If Tennessee has designs on being in that number at the end of the year, they need to get a road win. So we have a lot to talk about tonight. If you want to get in with us on your Smart Way, Dalton Behring and Hydraulics, Tennessee basketball overtime. My name is Tony Basilio. Pleased to be here with you. Our number this evening, should you choose to get on, and boy, I sure hope that you'll call the program tonight. I really want you to be a part of tonight's program. I don't want you to waste this opportunity for us to visit together, for you to share your thoughts with all who are listening around the world to us tonight. 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. 5402. Let's go to our phones. Without further ado, Hatfield will join us when he can. And let's grab our first call tonight. Hello and welcome. Tennessee Basketball Overtime presented by our friends at Smartway and Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics. Hello. Hello, who's there?
Hey.
Hey, welcome.
Tony.
Yes.
It's Adam here.
Hey, Adam, welcome, man.
First of all, I love you. I love Clone. I work with Clone. He's evolved. After that, first of all, we should have won this damn game. Sorry for cussing, but we should have won it. We had all kinds of chances to win it.
Yep. Yep.
And we blew it. Man.
When you can't hit your shots, Adam. When you can't hit your shots, when you go in your own gym 2-for-17 from 3-point range, you will not beat Karnes High School, my friend.
No.
You will not beat Karnes High School.
No. And another thing I had a problem with was Dick Vitale. I hate him. He brought up Bruce Pearl in the middle of our game. I mean, we were playing good when he brought him up, and then all of a sudden he decides to bring him up, and he had this and this and this, Bruce Pearl, blah, blah, blah. Leave us alone. You know?
He also brought up, he touched them all tonight because he also brought up Quanzo Martin, and I love when his defenders refer to him as Quanzo. See, Quanzo Martin penetrated so well with the likes of Dick Vitale. He had such a relationship with Dick Vitale that the damn guy doesn't know his name.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to sit there and tell me how great he is and how great a coach he is. You don't even know how to say his name. Why? Because the guy was a no-count basketball coach when he was here. That's why.
Yeah.
That's called reality.
If you're going to throw trash on Tennessee, at least learn the guy's name.
At least learn his name.
Tennessee.
Or you're just going to show me what your point is, which is the reason he's not here is because nobody knew who he was. The guy's lame. That's the reason that's the reason nobody here was going for Quanzo, because he was lame.
Quanzo.
Adam, thank you. You're flanging on me. Your phone, it's flanging. But I thank you for the call nonetheless. It's always a mixed bag out there in TV land. But Adam, thank you. 865-200-5402. If you want to get in the hunt and in the mix with me tonight, love to hear from you. Adam thinks we should have won the game. I tell you what, I think it should have been a better game down the stretch. I mean, it was. Just to refresh your memory one more time. At the 10-minute mark in this one, Tennessee was in pretty darn good shape. 30 minutes of basketball played. And Tennessee was only down 12 at the under 4 at 58-46, but they couldn't convert. They even had a deal where they missed two foul shots in that little set. Tennessee to that point was out-rebounding Kentucky 35-31, and they were still down 12. But when you shoot it at 2 of 17 from 3-point land, you're just not going to beat anybody. And we had so many chances tonight. And then we had a couple of goofy turnovers as well, but there's not much you can do about that. You know, I know some people are going to point to the turnover there, and the game did turn on Kentucky's 8-0 run. Vols went 4 minutes without scoring. Tennessee at one point in the game, in second chance points, Tennessee was up, had a 17-11 second chance points advantage in this game. with 7 minutes left, and yet we're down 12. I mean, they did everything possible to stay around in that game, but make three-pointers. They played smart. They played well. They shared the basketball. They hustled. They crashed the boards. It's so sad to lose like that. It's so sad to lose like that. Let's go back to our phones and grab another call. Hello and welcome. You're on your Smart Way, Dalton Behring and Hydraulics Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Hello.
Hey, Tony. It's JM.
Hey, JM. Welcome, man.
Hey, thought it was a good effort tonight. Pleased with that. One thing I've been looking for down the stretch here, I'm wanting a guy to emerge as a number one guy for us next year, and I'm looking at Robert Hubb. And he's been playing well lately, but he was 1 for 6 tonight. And I thought maybe, I don't know, I was hoping he would kind of rise to the challenge against those guys and have a double-figure game, but it just wasn't there. And Mostella was, I think, 0 for 6 and 0 for 4 from 3. So, I mean, he's going to have to get it together. We're getting nothing from him right now, and he's supposed to be an explosive guy that comes off the bench. And, you know, it's a guy that can spark you to a run. But you know, we really didn't get anything from those guys tonight, other than effort. I mean, they both of them played hard. But those are two guys that we need to emerge going into next season.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. And here's my thing with Mostella. I'm convinced he's going to be a very good player because the people I talk to on the staff tell me he is. And the people I trusted on the last staff told me that Jordy Mack, they said similar things about Jordy Mack, people I trusted. And I'm hearing similar things about this guy than I heard about Jordy Mack. And so I do believe that Mostella next year will be a nice player. And what you saw from Mostella tonight simply was a couple times he just couldn't finish. He's got to get stronger. He can play at this level. He needs an offseason in the weight room where he can get stronger. You can see it there with him, just like you could see it with Jordy Mack, the skill level's there. With Hubs, I don't know if Hubs will ever be a lead dog. You know, you watch him play kind of laid back, kind of listless. I don't see the lead dog in him.
But
I could be wrong.
A little bit of that behind the past couple weeks.
Yeah, he has. I'll agree with that.
So, but, and then, I hate to bring this up because, I mean, it's expected, but just some of the things that the ESPN crew was saying tonight is just all of those guys are so uninformed and they don't pay any attention to the basketball that's going on in front of them. They just say this scripted fluff. You know, it just doesn't have anything to do with the game. Like Jay Williams at halftime was talking about how Kentucky was just, and I quote, flat getting it done. They were getting dominated by Derek Reese and Tariq Owens down low, something to the tune of like 20-8 in the paint in the first half, and they're flat getting it done. Just embarrassing. And then when Dick Vitale in the first half started to talk about Kendall and the job he's done, he spent about 3/4 of a second on that and then transitioned over into Calipari for Coach of the Year and the job.
Yeah, he sure did. He said some people want to talk about this guy over here as Coach of the Year. He said, that's your Coach of the Year right there.
Yeah.
That's your Coach of the Year. It was all Kentucky all the time. What you got to understand about those guys, though, is that those guys are regal lovers.
Well, they're getting something out of that. That
that's what they are. They're regal lovers. Sure they are.
And I knew that, and I said tonight going into the game that I wasn't going to let that stuff aggravate me, but, you know, I never get used to it, I guess. And then one other thing, are we ever going to get to a halftime without giving up the buzzer beater three? I mean, every stinking game, going back to Jerry Green.
Tonight's game hurts JM a little bit because it could have been a much better basketball game down the stretch. And you know what?
You said it.
Tennessee's kids deserved. Well, they deserve for it to be a better game. They deserve for it to be a different game, man.
Yeah, but, you know, we're a few players short. I just hope that, you know, 2 years from now, it's a different story. And I think this guy, if the NCAA stuff will go away, I mean, I think this guy's going to get it done. He's a roll-up-your-sleeve type.
Yeah, he is.
And, I mean, I thought he did a phenomenal job tonight. I mean, what more can you do with what we've got out there?
I love the level of effort. Thank you, my friend. Good talking to you.
See you guys.
The big number tonight's 2 of 17. The other big number is Tennessee's ties them in rebounding. The other number is Tennessee has more second chance points than them. I mean, who would have thought that coming into the game? Let me get Hatfield in here with me. Keith Hatfield, good evening. You come out of Thompson Bowling Arena tonight where the Vols lose. The score is not as indicative of the contest this game was.
Oh no, the game was closer than the score. Now granted, I don't think there was ever a situation there where you would think that, oh man, we've got them on the ropes or anything. But no, the game was certainly more competitive than the final score indicates.
Your thoughts on tonight's game and then we'll go to the phones.
Tennessee's just not skilled enough offensively to put up enough points against that defense. Once Devin Booker, it seemed like every time we really threatened them, Booker or someone would shake open for a shot. Even though they didn't end up really killing us on the board. Actually, I thought we did phenomenally well on the boards. They got a couple of big second chance when it was still a competitive game in that 6 to 8 to 10 range. They got a couple of second chance baskets that kind of stretched it out. But and one thing I want to do, Tony, I was kind of hard on the students today about showing up. The Tennessee crowd, 99% of them deserve a huge, huge applause for showing up the way they did tonight. The students filled out their allotment. I mean, people showed up. Other than the Vichy France Nazi sympathizers sitting in front of me who decided that they felt that the Kentucky fans who had done nothing but run smack all night deserved an apology because some fans started giving it back to them. Other than those idiots, I thought the Tennessee fans showed out well tonight.
What did you say? Say that again. What happened? Tell me the story.
All these two idiots sitting in front of me felt they needed to turn around. Nothing
Kentucky
to me.
Fans? Are they Kentucky fans?
Oh, no, these were Tennessee fans. No, I'm not, and it's nothing to me because I didn't have any part of the discussion. But a couple of old blue-haired Kentucky fans, being typical old blue-haired Kentucky fans, which means loud-mouthed and obnoxious, have been babbling all game, and so some younger Tennessee fans started giving it back to them, and they start talking about, you're using profanity in front of my poor, precious grandchild, I'm going to go get an usher, and a bunch of nonsense like that. And so, at the end of the game, two of our, as I said, Vichy Vol Nazi sympathizers felt the need to turn around and apologize to those idiots. I hope those folks are back in that seat for those seats for the Vanderbilt game. I'll just put it that way. I got a little message for them.
I'm speechless.
I'm speechless. Hey, well, I mean, it's what, you know, we've got some complete dolts in our fan base, Tony. I mean, the thing is, Kentucky fans, the vast majority of them don't bother me. For a very simple reason. They come in, they talk trash, they talk about how they invented the game and everything, and you know what? They own it. But don't come into somebody else's building, run your mouth all night, and then get offended when they start giving it back to you. And the question I would have for those clowns is, okay, so if someone uses foul language towards me the next time I go to Rupp Arena, I just need to go get an usher and they'll lead those mean big blue people out, right? Yeah, right. Sure they will. But other than that, I thought Tennessee played as well as Tennessee can play for the most part. They just don't have enough offensively. I mean, Kentucky's one of the best defensive teams in the country. I mean, tonight's game convinces me more and more that the two teams most likely to beat Kentucky are Virginia and Arizona because both of them can beat Kentucky at their own game.
865-200-5402. And you've been saying all year from the very beginning of the year, which I will give you credit for, that Kentucky might start the Harrison kids, but their main backcourt is Booker and Euless when it's time to do work. And that's the deal.
That's the deal.
You watch that game tonight. If they only have the Harrison twins, they don't get out of there with a win tonight, Keith.
Oh, no. If they, when it comes down to when it matters in March, because they won't be, I'll be stunned if they play a close game before the Elite Eight. A really competitive, oh, they've got to do something game. I just don't think there are enough good, I don't think there are enough teams out there with talent. They're probably going to be number one overall seed, which means they'll get the weakest number four seed or whoever survives that half of their bracket. So I don't think they'll be headed before the round of eight, but once it gets down to serious stuff, if John chooses to play the Harrisons, that'll be how they go out of the tournament.
865-200-5402. The level of effort tonight, the level of want to tonight from Tennessee. I appreciate it so much I can't see straight. Keith, I want to go back here.
Sure.
So you saw a couple of fans. You had a situation happen in your section because I want to make sure people understand this. Because on Twitter, people are a little hazy in terms of what happened there. Go ahead and go through that for me again.
Well, okay. I mean, I'll put it this way. Okay, Tony. We're on app only, so I think it's nothing too terribly profane. So this older Kentucky fan is there with, I assume he said it was his grandson. I don't care. It could be his date for all I know, given what I think of those people. Either way, they're going back and forth during the game. This guy's just been obnoxiously Kentucky. I mean, every 5 minutes he thinks it's time to start a Go Big Blue chant. Just your typical loudmouth. And hey, we've got
a knuckle dragger.
You know the type, exactly. His only connection to the University of Kentucky is probably the ratty looking moth infested sweater he bought at Big Lot. That type of guy. So he's running his mouth the whole time, mm-hmm. and the guy behind him starts getting on him because they're acting as if somehow they had invented the game and that they're ready to take on the Spurs tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. And the guy just said, look, you're this fired up about beating a team picked to finish 13th in the SEC. And it goes back and forth a little bit, and the guy starts getting on him about, Al, well, it's going to be, your behavior is going to make it even more fun when you guys get bounced out of the tournament. And then they go back and forth a little bit, and the guy just starts going on about, well, you know, you're just jealous and this and that. And the guy just finally looks at him and goes, look, pal, you're a shithead. At which point, Governor John Y. Brown's, probably his former chauffeur or something, decides, oh, if you continue to curse in front of my grandson, I'll have you escorted out. Apparently thinking that he's at some podunk high school.
Did he say it one time to him and that's it?
Yeah.
Okay. So he just made his point. It wasn't like he went off with him with a profane.
No. No.
So the Kentucky fan, as far as you're concerned, deserved it. Because we're going to go back and we're going to talk about the game. But I like the sidelight stuff here. And by the way, Keith, on that note, I've just been handed the special weather bulletin here to the Basilio Show. Ladies and gentlemen, I can announce that Keith Hatfield's Kindness and Understanding Seminar has been postponed for tomorrow due to the weather conditions. The Kindness and Understanding Seminar for Keith Hatfield has been postponed for tomorrow due to weather conditions. And also, Knox County Schools are also out, in case you're listening and joining us around the area.
And this was one of these guys, Tony, that I guarantee probably sits around. He's a member of some reenactment group and runs around talking about how great the state of Kentucky is and all this other nonsense. It was all I could do not to turn around and ask him how it felt that all their basketball success, for the most part, in the last 30 years has been by two Northern Italian guys who have used them like a cheap whore. Does anyone who thinks Rick Pitino or John Calipari give the first damn about that play?
Gah! Hatfield is going off!
Are either naive, stupid, or some combination of both.
Whew. 865-200.
Tony, you know I like John.
You like John Calipari a lot.
I'm a Calipari guy.
Yep.
Hey, bottom line is, those folks could make me root for Duke. I mean, the Kentucky fan base, that portion of it that probably doesn't know five players in America outside of their own team, but are certain this is the greatest team ever assembled, could make me root for Baylor against them. I mean, that's the kind of yahoos these people are. And you come into somebody else's gym and run your damn mouth and then start threatening that you're going to run tell teacher? To hell with you.
Back to the phones we go. Now, I want to make sure I understand this. There was the guy sitting behind you, beside you. Were you in the middle?
He was behind and beside me. And I had to listen to him. I mean, obviously, the guy thought he was John Wooden. I mean, it was a wonderful commentary I got tonight.
So the guy was one of those fans that nervous talked the whole time.
Yeah,
and he talked trash, and he was explaining the game to you plebeians from Knoxville.
Well, I've got to understand. I mean, obviously, he's a really knowledgeable fan. It took him only 35 minutes into the game to realize the difference between Trey Lyles and Karl Anthony Towns. But of course, I'm sure those people all look the same to him. I'm sure he's got an Adolf Rupp shrine somewhere next to his burning cross in his yard or something.
You feel better, Hatfield?
No, not really. I mean, I'll feel better if somebody drums them out of the NCAA tournament this year. I mean, I would even root for the Rat against them at this point.
The guy was that off-putting that you would cheer for the Rat?
The Rat, Scott Drew. I can't root for Travis Ford against them because, I mean, they'd just somehow co-opt that as a win of theirs anyways.
Whew.
Can't root for Pitino against them. It'd be the same thing.
At Ron Wright Wannabe says he hates hypocrites that act like their children or grandchildren, hearing one profane word will somehow damage their fragile minds.
Well, Tony, and for one of the rare times in my life, I'm just sitting there trying to be Switzerland and out of it. But it was all getting not to turn around and say, Al, if that's the first time that he's ever heard somebody call you a shithead, you have some very, very, you have some friends that need to be a hell of a lot more critical.
OMGTV. This is insane. So you were between the guy. Where were you now?
No. The Kentucky fan was behind me and to my left, one seat, and the other guy was a row behind them. And the best thing was the Kentucky guy started yelling at an usher that somebody was cussing, and the guy's buddy who called him a shithead, who was a Kentucky fan, said, no, he didn't. He didn't say anything like that.
Oh, the Kentucky fan stood up for him.
Yeah, his buddy, the Kentucky fan, and of course, all of us were going to completely, I was going to lie through my teeth, Tony. I was going to say that the old guy took a swing at him if it came to that.
That old Adolf Rupp.
Relic was on his way to the cake. Was on his way out to Maloneyville Road. If I had anything to do with it,
can I ask you something? That and isn't there? There's a. You're talking about where the jail is.
Yeah,
he's gonna be working with Ivan Harmon in the morning. That old guy.
There you go.
Wow, my gosh, I am like crying over here. I don't even know where to. Let's go to the phones. Kara, next call in here. Hello and welcome. Smartway Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Hello.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, welcome.
How's you and Keith doing that?
Don, are you offended by Keith going off there?
I'm enjoying Keith going off there.
Oh, okay.
I would like to punch. Take
it. Don, you would have sent that old man to jail, too, if given the opportunity?
I think I know who he was. I don't think he actually lives in Kentucky. I think it's this guy in my church.
Interesting.
just from Keith's description. But anyhow, I was just looking at a few stats there. They have one more basket than us. One more. 22-21.
One more basket. I mean, I never see anything like tonight.
Unfortunately, several more threes, and then we got murdered at the free throw line. Partly our own fault. There was two, in addition to when it was 6 points and we threw a lazy pass that went down and jumped up to eight, there was two particular foul shot scenarios. They go down and hit the front end and miss the second one, get the rebound, stuff it back up, and get the basket and an and-one and made a 4-point play out of it. And the other one, we go down, Josh misses the front end of a 1-1, and then we got about, 3-4 seemed like rebounds. We had 2-3 more shots. Then we get fouled again and go up and miss both free throws. So you've got like 8 points in free throw flip right there.
And it was right, that was all right down the stretch when the game was in the balance. Hey, when it's 10 minutes left and it's a 4-point game and you have the roster we have and you have the roster, Don, that they have, that is a great job by our kids of staying in that game.
Well, every time we would rest Josh, I'd just start panicking. You know, the way they were pressing him, I thought, man, they're going to turn Hunter or Mastel or somebody over here. So I was a little happy we did a decent job until Josh would get back in. But no, if Tennessee hit 7 out of 17, they could have won the ball game. You know, it's just ridiculous.
Just a couple threes. I'd like to see the difference if you just hit three threes there.
Oh, yeah.
That's 10 points. All of a sudden, it's a couple possession game at the two-minute mark. It's anybody's game at that point.
Right, and you put the pressure on them. Because, you know, the final score, there was a lot of garbage points.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And that's just throwing up anything, trying to do whatever. But, you know, if you go back all season and look at our losses, especially a couple that got away from us, like tonight in the Alabama game. We missed threes and we missed threes. You know, and that was Katie barred the door. You know, some of those games when we hit 50% from, or 40 to 50% from 3-point range, we do that tonight. And, you know, you're right there. But I was all into the effort tonight. I told my wife to just, might get ugly face. You might want to go ahead and go take
it. Absolutely. I was expecting a blowout.
Yeah, and she said, I'm going to watch it a while. And we're sitting there at halftime looking at each other. Well, I said, I guess it'll be a while before you go. And, you know, 10 minutes, like you said, 10 minutes ago, I just kept counting down minutes, see where we was every 5-minute break. And we're right there, right there, right there. And it was about 7 minutes. Something when that steal took place that put them up eight.
Yeah, that was a game.
That was kind of sayonara. Yep. But I tell you what, if you'd told me that we would have even been even with those guys on the boards, I mean, we had several times that we had 3 and 4 possessions on a possession because of offensive rebounding. And I think at one time, I heard one of your callers earlier say, it was like 20-8 on inside post scoring, I guess you'd say.
Mm-hmm.
I used to think it was 30-8 at one time. And they throwed it up first. And I'm like, how are we doing this? Just talking about the guy that Towns, you know, he had 3 points. You realize both of our big men outscored him? Not one of them, but both of them.
It's incredible. Towns never got into the game tonight.
Right.
You know, you get the feeling, Don, if he gets into the game, we really get hammered. But you had to have a few things happen. That had to happen. We had to get those guys in a little bit of foul trouble. We had to have, early in the game, we had to have the pace our way, which we did. We didn't allow them to get any cheap points till late, till we got really tired. Everything through 30 minutes was going about right with one thing, and you said it earlier, when you can't hit a three-pointer to get your crowd in it, to get yourself a little steam, to just make a shot, those are empty trips when you're missing those three balls.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was one time I think we had just scored to cut it back to four, and we came down the punter and missed it.
Yeah.
I mean, you
can't do it. Can't have it, Don.
And you accentuate the problem when you go up there and miss front end to one and one, crap like that,
yeah,
or both ends of the tee shot trip. But the even though we played them even on the boards and we had more second chance points and et cetera, et cetera, two other things was we turned the ball over way too much. And then, you know, we need to be ahead, not behind in that. The other thing, even though they got a few fouls called on them, you know, they constantly, there was one they showed us close up, and their big guy put his forearm right in Moore's back, shoved him out of the way, got the rebound, stuck it back in on the missed free throw.
I thought, the officiating, I appreciate your call, thank you. Glad to know that guy goes to Don's church. Does that make you feel better, Keith, that the guy goes to Don's? John, here's Don identifying a guy. It had to be the guy Don knows. That must be a real joy and a treat, the guy Don goes to church with.
Oh, right. We've got people like that running all over around here. I mean, we've got all kinds of bandwagon clowns in this area. I guess the one thing I was wondering as I was walking out of the game, do you think those bandwagon clowns ever get confused, Tony, and like wear an Alabama shirt during basketball season and a Kentucky shirt during football season?
Keith,
Or is there a default setting just to wear a Patriots jersey,
friend of mine,
or a Yankees,
friend
or a
of mine,
Yankees hat or something like that?
Friend of mine named Brother Gordo tonight down in Dallas, who's listening to us on your Smart Way, Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics, Tennessee Basketball Overtime, was wondering about it. He came in on the tail end of the story. So the story isn't, you're not mad that the guy got cussed at and then called the attendant in the arena, the incident you saw.
No, I'm mad at the Tennessee fans.
What happened with the Tennessee fan? What was the deal there?
Oh, there's probably 30 seconds to go in the game. They're dribbling out the clock, and they turn around and make sure to apologize to this poor Kentucky fan who's been so terribly put upon, and that they hope they didn't ruin his night and blah, blah, blah. Like I said, Vichy Vol, Nazi sympathizers.
You mean
probably
to tell
the same,
me the Kentucky fan sat
the
there
folks.
And ran his mouth all night?
Yeah.
And this guy turns around and apologizes to them.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, they're the same folks. I'm sure they show up every year with a bunch of flowers behind their ears, screaming about Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and probably think we should give the damn country back to the British.
Oh my gosh. Your seminar might be postponed indefinitely, Hatfield. Let's go back to the phones and get our next call in here. Smartway, Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Hello. Yes, hello. Who's there? 3, 2, 1. That doesn't happen much. Let's get our next call in here. Hello and welcome.
Guys, it's Smitty. How you doing?
Hey, Smitty. Welcome in, man.
Keith, you're bringing it tonight, man. I love it.
Just commenting on what I saw, Smitty.
Well, really, you know, I meant to ask you a couple weeks ago, Keith. A buddy of mine and I were sitting in section 101. You sit in section 103, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, well, we've never seen a picture of you, so we were trying to profile you based on your voice. So we were just trying to look and see which guy would look like you just by what you sound like and what we've heard from you, but we're almost about to yell Keith because I wanted to just talk to you for a minute and watch a game, you know, watch like a few seconds with you because I love what you say. I love what you're talking about tonight.
You wouldn't like him, Smitty, if you met him.
I wouldn't like him.
No, absolutely not. Let's keep it, Smitty, as you sound like a quality young man. Keep it as a radio relationship. Trust me.
Well, I mean, you know, tonight, the biggest thing that got me was when Kentucky went up about 6 points, I think the team kind of freaked out a little bit and went away from the game plan. I think probably, you know, your biggest the player that struggled with that the most was Josh Richardson. I think what he thinks is he puts so much weight on his shoulders yep. that, you know, when the team goes down that he tries to do too much. And I don't fault him for that, but the team went away from what the game plan was, and they were in that game, and they started taking some bad shots, started creating turnovers, and that's going to happen. Obviously, the team wore out, but that seemed to be a problem for them coming down the stretch, was taking some bad shots and forcing some bad passes and things like that to try to create shots. But all in all, I mean, if you make, like you guys said, if you make two or three more threes, I mean, you know, it's a different ball game. And I don't understand why this team struggles so much in their home court of making shots like that. I mean, they just shoot so poorly in their own gym. And I don't know if that's because they practice in Pratt and they get used to the depth and go to Thompson Bowling. I have no idea why.
They don't shoot it like it's their home gym, Smitty, do they?
No. They go to another gym, they seem to shoot better. And I don't know if there's some kind of pressure that's on them, if they're so young or they're not used to seeing that many people around them. I really don't know. What were they? 2 of 17, you know, seemed like from three. And, your home gym, I mean, like, you know, me and you, Tony, could go 2 of 17 from three if we went out there. I mean, it's just, I don't understand why that is.
They shot 25% in the second half from the field and missed several point-blank shots. Now, like you said, you're exhausted, you're tired, we understand that. The three-point shots, several were uncontested, great looks. Hubs had a couple of just picture-perfect looks at it. Punter had a couple of superb looks. And Mostella missed a couple of wide-open, early-in-the-game three balls. So it wasn't his legs, just wide-open threes. And truthfully, none of those shots were close.
I don't get it. Now, you know, it goes back to even the beginning of the season. Heck, the Tennessee Tech games, the Tennessee State games, they couldn't shoot well on their home court. I don't understand that. Now, Mostella, when I look at Mostella, I agree with you. He can be a great player, but he doesn't understand the flow of the game.
Not yet.
He doesn't get that.
Not
yet.
He has
no clue.
Not yet.
What's going on in the game, because when Tennessee's down by 4 or 5 or 6, he takes a contested three, or he drives in the lane, he gets a Willie Cauley-Stein where he has a shot. And he puts up a shot that is so bad that doesn't, and early in the shot clock too, it's like he never wants to wait. And it costs the team, it costs the team points, because then the other team gains momentum off of that, goes down the other end, makes a three, makes a late two, you know, something like that. I see what Mostella has, but he just has no feel of the game. And he needs to get that before he becomes a good player. If he doesn't get that, he'll never be a good player.
I believe that he'll get there, because I believe we've got great coaching, and I believe they'll get the guy there. And it's kind of like what they used to tell me about Jordy Mack in the early Pearl days, when you'd watch him in a game and he looked lost. And those guys would tell me, hey, we're going to work with this guy, and by the time we get there, and this is what quietly Tindall tells me about him and Tindall's staff. They tell me, this kid right here will be a very good player here before it's over. Tell people not to give up on him. So I'm sharing the message it's been passed along to me.
Well, I agree. I think that most of these guys can be great. I think Punter needed to take more shots tonight.
Yeah, he did.
Was doing a great job. I think Punter needs to take more shots in general. I think that Josh and Punter need to be taking the majority of the shots. I think Punter is so great from the wing. I think that he's very good. He's very similar to Josh Richardson in that he can drive to the free throw line extended, take a jump shot, and you can almost guarantee that he's going to make that shot. And he did that a couple times tonight, even contested jump shots. He made those. And, you know, I felt like he kind of got away from that, and that Josh was putting up some contested shots they really didn't need to do. One-handed shots from the free throw line was a necessary kind of just freak out moments. But all in all, I mean, Tennessee was, they had no chance tonight. If they wanted to have a chance, they needed to make threes. And I listened to Kevin Punter's, I listened to his post-game speech. And I mean, these guys, like I've said week after week, they're bought in. And all Kevin Punter did was talk about, Donnie and what they said all week. You know, Donnie had a great game plan and these guys just couldn't compete. And, you know, I'm watching the replay, some highlights of the game tonight. I thought Tariq, Owens played a fairly decent game tonight. This team, you know, you never know. They may go on a three game, they may win three games in a row after this. You just don't know, what they're going to do. And, I'm hoping that they can do that and, make a good push in the SEC tournament, go to the NIT and make a good run there. But good show tonight, guys, and, talk to you later.
Hey, Hatfield, my son said he got heckled. He just walked in here. Thanks, Smitty. My son Anthony just walked in here from the game. He said he saw a similar incident with a Kentucky fan getting preachy with somebody, a very similar thing to what you saw. So maybe that's the guy that goes to Don's church.
I mean, I've never seen, it's amazing to me. They come into other people's gyms, run their mouths from the time they get in there to the final buzzer, and then are stunned when somebody gives it back to them. I've never seen anything like it.
So you're saying that you were sitting next to the guy, the Kentucky fan.
He was a row behind me and directly to my left.
And so.
And had two big fat ass women with him that appeared to be auditioning for the Real Housewives of Middlesbrough or something. And Tony, I sat there, and I just completely tuned them out till they started talking about they were going to get an usher for a guy, just because a guy accurately described one of them. And then they always get this, what me? What did I do? And then they wonder why everybody hates them. It's not because you win all the time. There are a whole bunch of programs in college basketball that win all the time that people don't utterly loathe. But, I mean, what else do Kentucky fans have? Meth? Prescription pills? Billy Ray Cyrus? I mean, come on.
By the way, Sushi Spot Shane is inviting you to Sushi Spot tomorrow for lunch. And they're back open. He really appreciates your rant tonight and you landed on the line. Apparently he had a similar experience tonight at the Kentucky game. So apparently, is this something that you've found? Is this something that you've found, through your time, or is this was that an outlier tonight that you had that interaction?
No, it's not an outlier. Now, granted, Tony, 50% of the Kentucky fan base, I'll be the first person to admit, I find it a pleasure to be around because they're some of the most basketball knowledgeable people on the planet. But the other 50% of that fan base, like I said, can't name three people on another team in America. Hell, they can't even name all the guys. They can't even recognize all the guys on their own team. But yet they certainly have a base of knowledge, as Dave Hart would say, or a knowledge and expertise, unlike any other, that they can certainly tell you that this is the greatest college basketball team ever assembled, and probably the greatest team ever assembled in sport. I mean, they're better than Arsenal's Galacticos and all those. I mean, they're just dominant.
Real Housewives of?
Middlesbrough.
Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Oh, Lordy. Good night. Do I have, can I get, about 45 minutes like Don and Smitty got? Don from Sweetwater and Smitty. 45 minutes, Tony.
Go ahead.
I have laughed. I have never laughed so damn hard. I don't even know what to say. I mean, I had some stuff I want to talk about, but I think you've just taken it all. I don't have anything to say. I mean, these Kentucky fans are absolutely moronic. I remember the first time I ever met Tony Basilio was on a Pearl Patrol. We were down in Atlanta, Georgia, and it was like one of Bruce's like first times where we went down to Atlanta, and he just went off on these Kentucky fans, said, "You bunch of idiots! You don't freaking play till tomorrow. What the hell are you doing down here?" I mean, I don't even know what to say, Hatfield.
I'll tell you what happened. This is a story.
I'm in tears.
Well, this is the story, Marshy. Let's go back. We're down there. I took a bus trip down. I promised my group, because we were playing LSU that day. I'll never forget this as long as I live. And we're down there in a 20,000-seat arena, that Bridgestone Arena, 18,000 seats, whatever it is. And I'm thinking, Kentucky doesn't tip off till tomorrow. We were an undercard game, okay? And their fans are everywhere in there. And I asked these group of people, "Do you mind if my group comes and sits in this row?" And they're like, "Yeah. We got these tickets." And I'm like, "But you don't play it on tomorrow night. I mean, you really, this game isn't important to you. Can our group just kind of squeeze?" "No, they can't." And I go, "You got to be kidding me. You're going to make us move. Because we were already sitting there, Keith, and like eight of them walked up on us. And I'm going, you've got to be kidding. It's like we're tipping the tournament off here. But those people are sick with it."
"Oh, no, Tony, there's one in every league. I went for a number of years consecutively to the Mountain West Conference Tournament. I mean, Kentucky is in our league what BYU is in theirs, what Texas is in the Big 12. I mean, every league's got one. What Ohio State is in the Big Ten. I mean, every league's got one. What UCLA is in the Pac-12. I mean, every league's got a fan base that is completely delusional, entitled, and goofy. And they're ours."
"Hey, I totally agree, Keith. If all these college kids have no money, how in the world does this Collie Stein, if I'm pronouncing his name right, he's probably got, I don't know, $4,000 worth of ink on his neck and on his face. He scares me."
"He looks good."
I'll tell you one thing, though.
If somebody in the Western Conference doesn't draft him simply to guard the Kevin Durant and Klay Thompsons and James Hardens of the world, somebody in the Western Conference is making a terrible, terrible.
You better believe it, because that is one big individual who covers a lot of space, Keith.
I would draft him simply to guard those guys. That would be his
one. Does he scare you, though? He scares me just watching him on TV. He scares me.
I was in Cincinnati a lot when Danny Fortson and Reuben Patterson were there. Not a lot scares me.
Thank you, Marshy. Good talking to you. And you did not get the time that Don from Sweetwater got, nor did you get the time that Smitty got. So I hope to answer your question. I hope that helps. 1 minute past the hour. I do want to go back to something, because Hatfield had an incident tonight with a fan.
I didn't have the incident with him.
Not that I want to belabor the point, but Ben Zorio, who's a friend of mine and is on Twitter, says, "Of all the sporting events I've been to, only times I've had problems with opposing fans have been Kentucky basketball fans." And tonight, Keith, you're telling the people that are just tuned in, for those that didn't hear the incident, it was about 45 minutes ago, you're saying that we had a situation just tell the story.
Well, I mean, the Kentucky fan probably in his, I'm going to go mid-60s. There with a couple of women who probably both checking in over two bills, looking as if they're auditioning for the Real Housewives of Middlesboro, and a looked to be 10-year-old child. And the guy, just the whole game, is just one of these guys who's always clapping, always talking, doesn't know the difference between Willie Cauley-Stein and Karl-Anthony Towns, but he's a basketball expert, and just continues to run his mouth, and finally a Tennessee fan behind him kind of jokingly says to him, "Yeah, I mean, this is real impressive. You guys are up, whatever it was, that point 10 on a team picked to finish 13th in the SEC. And, of course, that just offends the guy to no end. And he goes on and on about, well, you know, we're beating you. I don't know why you're talking. But the guy goes, this is just going to make it that much more fun to see you dumped out of the NCAA tournament. And then the Kentucky guy says something like, well, at least you guys won't be there. And the Tennessee fan finally just looks at the guy and goes, you're a real shithead. At which point, then, the Kentucky fan becomes like Ron Burgundy, Judge Smales style, and says he's going to have that man escorted out for cursing in front of his grandchild.
When he baited him the whole time.